Thank you for tuning in today to our Wednesday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today we'll be continuing our study in Exodus, so let's join Pastor Dave now.
Soon your trials will be over.
And so, again, yeah, that family doesn't know God. I'm going to bring somebody who does know God. I'm going to bring that light into a very dark situation. And guess what? Darkness doesn't like the light. He did not come to bring peace to a family that is headed towards darkness or that is in darkness. He hasn't. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He who does not take his cross, follow after me, is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. He who loses his life for my sake will find it. There has to come a time as we grow in our own faith with the Lord that the Lord becomes our ultimate parent. And we will do what God says over what somebody else is recommending that we do in our life. This is one of the reasons why the Apostle Paul would say again in Ephesians 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. There's the qualifying. I continue to obey my mom, you know, in the Lord. In the Lord. And that's an important qualification. The honor we owe our parents can never come at the expense of the honor we owe the Lord. And so so when Christians cannot rely upon the parents for godly advice, well, then you can then go to God himself. You can go to the Word itself, and God will speak to you. You could seek counsel from the church itself, and they will give you counsel according to God's Word. And so now, even though we might not have had Christian parents, we still need to give them honor and respect. That means listening to them. It means caring for their needs, being a witness to them so they can see Jesus in us and want to have what we have in our relationship with Jesus. Proverbs 23:22 says, listen to your father who begot you and do not despise your mother when she is old. Honoring your father and mother is making them a priority. You call them. You stay in constant communication with them. You make them a part of what's going on in your life. And it means caring for them to the very ends of their lives. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. We want to make all sorts of excuses of why not to be able to take care of our parents if they're in need. And Matthew 15:1, it says, and the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? Yes, quite often the disciples transgress the tradition of the elders. For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. Okay. And he, Jesus, answered and said to them, I love this. Jesus always answers a question with a question. He goes, let's go to something a little bit more important than what you're asking me. He says, why do you also transgress the commandment of God? Now, what's more important, the tradition of the elders or the commandment of God? I would say the commandment of God. If we're going to talk about transgressions, shouldn't we talk about transgressions against God instead of transgressions against men? I would say yes. And he says, this is how you do it, because of your tradition. For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses his father and mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, that is known as Corban. Okay? Corban is that you say, oh, God, you're so wonderful that everything I have is yours. But by saying that, the tradition is you could still use all that stuff. You could still use what you have to provide for yourself. But you couldn't use any of that stuff to help anyone else. Corbin, it's dedicated to God. So once I die, it all goes to God. And while I'm alive, I can use it, but it still belongs to God. So whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift of God. And then he need not honor his father and mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Meaning if mom and dad come to you because they're in need, you're not going to be able to help them out because I can't give you any of this stuff because it belongs to God and I already dedicated it to him, even though I can still use it. Well, that was never a commandment of God. And by doing that, you keep the commandment God from to be able to do the command of God. He says, hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Somehow that usurps the word of God. What man's tradition all of a sudden usurps the word of God. Now who's God? They are. They are. So if your parents come to you and they're in need, this obviously was something that was happening in Jesus' time. They say, well, I'd like to help you, mom and dad, but I can't. I'm such a godly guy that I've dedicated all this to God. And so I can't help you. Wow. Your traditions cancel out God's commands. It was a convenient way to refuse helping people in need and even those of your own family. And so it must have been a common practice if Jesus brings it up like he does. And so we do the same thing. We try to rationalize why we don't help others and why we don't help our own family members. But yet we see Jesus in John 19, verse 26, when he was hanging on the cross, it says, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, meaning John, standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. And he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. Jesus, being our perfect example of a son, takes care of his mom by pointing to her and then saying, John, behold your mother. You are now to take care of her. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. Jesus, making sure his mother was taken care of because his earthly father had already died at this point. Now, sometimes we can't take care of our parents because of a medical condition. They might need more attention than we can give them. And so you have to kind of like put them in some sort of assisted living. Might be an alternative. Just make sure it's the best one you can do and that you visit often, if not daily. Constantly visiting, spending time with them, bringing them out to your house for special events and things like that in order to continue to bring them honor. My wife and I have already decided that that where we live right now, we always knew that when we bought our house, that God has blessed us with that house, that if any parent, hers or mine, are ever any need to live anywhere, they could live with us. They could live with us. And so, as well as other family members, you know, that they get themselves in a situation and they're making it and it's hard for them to be able to survive or whatever, they could always live with us. Family is family. And so I have no doubt that that'll probably happen in the future. And so we're already preparing for it now. It's interesting that in 2 Timothy 2:3, not respecting and honoring your parents is one of the signs of the end times. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control. That surrounds why they're disobedient to parents. That surrounds why they don't want to honor their mother and father, because they first love themselves, and they love money. They're proud, that blaspheme, so that means that they aren't loving God. They're unthankful for everything that their parents have done. And so they're unholy, they're unthankful to God as well. They're unloving, they don't forgive, they hold a grudge against their parents. And so again, that kind of tells you why they don't honor their mother and father and disobedient to parents. I want you to go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. By saying honor your mother and father, it means you don't dishonor them. And so by saying honor your mother and father and you don't dishonor, it means that we have to pour into the kids. And here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, it tells us here in verse 4, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children." One of the ways that you show that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul is by teaching them to your kids. Teaching them to your kids. And then it says here, "You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as a frontlet between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates," meaning everything that you look and glance down as you're working, you see it there on your hand. As you go into your house, you see it there on your doorposts. As you leave your house, you see it on your gates. And when you're in your house, you're teaching your kids. You're teaching your kids. It is God's plan for his word to be passed from one generation to the next. Now, go to Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." We love to show our kids that. "Honor your father and mother," which is the first commandment with promise. Again, we love to show our children that. "That it may be well with you and you may live a long life on the earth." We love to show our children that. "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath." Well, we don't like to read that. We could just end there at 3. But when we scream and yell and make things very hard for our kids and we're harsh with our kids, you're provoking them to wrath. "But bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Now, this is an amazing proclamation during Paul's day, especially verse 4 there. "Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath." What? I could do whatever I want. That's my kid. That was the understanding in Paul's day. By the Roman law of patria potestas, a father had virtual life and death power over not only his slaves, but his entire household, including his children. He could cast any member of his household out of his house, sell them as slaves, or even kill them and be accountable to no one. A newborn child was placed at its father's feet to determine its faith in Roman culture. If the father picked it up, the child was allowed to stay in the home. If the father walked away, it was simply disposed of, much like aborted babies are in our day today. Discarded infants who were healthy and vigorous were collected, taken up each night to the town forum where they would be picked up and raised to either be slaves or prostitutes. That was Roman culture. That was Roman culture. A letter written in 1 BC by a man named Hilarion to his wife, Alice, reads, "Heartiest greetings. Note that we are still even now in Alexandria. Do not worry if when all others return, I remain in Alexandria. I beg and beseech you to take care of the little child." So they already have one child. "And as soon as we receive wages, I will send them to you. If good luck to you, you have another child." Okay, meaning she is pregnant and she delivers. "If it is a boy, let it live. If it is a girl, expose it." This is Roman culture. Yet Paul is saying, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up training admonition of the Lord. Do not provoke to anger," suggests a repeated ongoing pattern of treatment that gradually builds up a deep-seated anger and resentment within that child that boils over into hostility. We as dads really can do that with our kids. And yet God tells us, do not provoke your children. Don't provoke them. And there's many different ways we can provoke our children to anger. We see favoritism. We see Isaac favoring Esau over Jacob. How well did that go over? you know, Rachel favoring Jacob over Esau, and that dual favoritism caused much harm in the family. Don't provoke your children to wrath. You can do that by being very angry, very, very curt, you know, and screaming and yelling, you know. As dads, we sometimes think, oh, maybe they didn't hear me. Let me up the volume. And we do that. And yet we're to train. The Greek word here is paideia, which means nurture. You know, when we have a baby dedication, I pray this all the time, Lord, give them wisdom because this child is different than their other child. And we think we just have a blanket thing. This is how this works. And so it seems to be working on the first kid. Why isn't it working on the second kid? You know why? Because there's the second kid. There is a lot of truth to firstborn, secondborn, those born after and things like that. I think there's a lot of truth involved with that. But whatever those truths are, the biggest truth is every child is different. God has given every child different giftings and understanding of how they view the world, and we need to tap into that wisdom because God wants to use every child for his glory in different ways. And so we need to tap into that, and there isn't a stamp of what you put on each child of how they're supposed to react to everything and think and feel. It doesn't work that way. And so we need the wisdom through the Holy Spirit. How do I train this one? Because this one is so different. This one is so different. And having raised four kids, we have that experience now to where we really see it with our grandkids. Oh my goodness, they're so different. I have one grandkid, has all the feels, we say. Has all the feels. Feels everything. You know, from a hurt of another child, he feels that. You know, the hurt of something we think, you shouldn't feel that. He feels it. He has all the feels and can get very weepy at the drop of a dime. Nothing wrong with that. God is going to use him in a specific way. And we're not there to kind of raise that child up the same way as some other of the kids. You know, you could just see it. He needs more alone time, you know, things like that. And so, again, every child is different. You know, every child is different. My firstborn, Katie, you would just look at her cross and she would just kind of go like that. My second kid, Molly, oh, man, we believed in the pinch, just so you know. We believe if you're out somewhere and they're acting up, you lovingly grab them as they're having a meltdown. Oh, come here for a second. Boom, right behind the leg, right there. Nobody sees it. They start crying. They look over to you. Oh, what a wonderful parent over there soothing their child. You know, one child I might have pinched twice their whole life. Another one, it was two or three a day, you know. And yet every child is different. You know, it's just the way that it is. It's just the way there is. The pinch did not work on Josh at all. It was the wooden spoon. And Mindy couldn't do that. I had to do that. And unless there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, that punishment wasn't a punishment. So, you know, he would sometimes smirk when Mindy would give him a tap on the rear end, because that's all it was a tap. But when I came home, it's like, yeah, that's not going to fly, you know. So every kid is different. Never had to do that with any of the children. Every child is different. And none of that happened, you know, after 5 years of age. Never did those kind of things anymore. And it had a tremendous impact on our kids and how they behaved afterwards. I'm absolutely for discipline in those manners, but it was never done in anger. Never done in anger, you know. So, again, you're going to train them up. There's a nurturing that takes place with each kid. The admonition here is nuthesia, means instruction. So you don't just discipline. You don't just say no. You actually instruct the child of why it's a no, why this is what we do instead, okay? We bring them up in the train admonition of the Lord. Again, teaching them God's word, what God's word says. David's too late. My kids are already grown up. I didn't know these things. It's never too late. I look at Job. I look at Job and how he interceded for his kids, making sacrifices every single day. You know, with man it is impossible, not with God. With God, all things are possible. My number one counsel that I give to everyone is when it comes to family members and not knowing the Lord or what do I do about this? The best thing that we can always do for everyone is walk with Jesus. Have a growing, thriving relationship with Jesus so they can see Jesus in us. Dave, my kids are full grown. They didn't know God or anything. Okay, but do you know God? Yeah, but just recently and I'm older. And it doesn't matter. You get close to God. You can't fake this. When you get close to God and you're excited about relationship with the Lord and everything else, it will be seen. And you pray and you hand that over to the Lord. Same thing with parents that don't know the Lord, but you have come to know the Lord. They did the very best that they can, but they didn't have Jesus. Let them see Jesus in you. And you, be forgiving. Let go of it. You don't know what they did. You don't obviously understand what you have done against the Lord, and yet he's forgiven you. Jesus himself said, if you cannot forgive others, you can't be forgiven. And as kids, forgive your parents. I don't care what they did to you. My father molested me. I get that. And you know why? He didn't know Jesus. And I'm so sorry that happened in your life. It's terrible. Terrible. But isn't it awesome you know Jesus now? And God himself can begin to heal all those wounds and get you excited about where you're going. And that knowing that he wants to now use you to reach the person that caused you the most harm, only God does those kind of things. And to be open for that, pray for your parents. Pray for your kids. Do not carry the guilt. Oh, it's too late. I should have. I would have. I could have. Hey, Satan wants you to dwell on that. God says, love me. And by doing that, you'll be able to do what? Love others. People need to see Jesus in us, and you have that opportunity. Don't let this teaching bum you out. Oh, I didn't do that. Oh, it's too late. It's never too late. You can teach them the ways of God by how you are now going to live your life. That's how you do it. And there's tremendous hope in that. And then when you see God move, oh my goodness, that's God. It's God. It's God. With man it's impossible, not with God. With God, all things are possible. We're going to close with this. I just find it very interesting that when Jesus says this, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. I've loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So back when God is making them a nation, he's saying, God, family, others. Okay? God, family, others. Now, he's not creating a nation so much with physical borders, but a nation called the church. What is it today for the church? Still God, family, others. This is how they know that you're my disciples. You're worshiping me. You're worshiping God. This is how they're going to know that. Your love for one another. Where's that love shown? Here in the family of God. Still going to love God, love the family. And as that happens, that's how they're going to know you're my disciples. What does that mean? Others outside. Neither death nor even life.
Let nothing ever. We're out of time for today's Wednesday edition of Abiding in the Word. Pastor Dave Love will be back tomorrow to continue our study in the book of Exodus. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at a new time of 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. Childcare is available during all our weekend services. We also have a midweek study on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. At the same time, our kids' ministry runs Awana. And for young adults, our Arise Ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30, right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. We appreciate you spending time with us today. Until our next time together, we encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.